How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It'll be Oregon State and Washington State Saturday, 4 o'clock at Research Stadium. The broadcast, the CW. Ted Robinson and Ryan Leaf are your play-by-play and your analyst. Washington State coach Jake Dickert saying we are not friends. He is trying to get his team mentally ready to play. Trent Bray doing the same thing at Oregon State. And Oregon State coach Trent Bray joining us now. How are you?
Doing great.
When you hear Jake Dickert talk about we're not friends, I hear a coach just trying to get his team mentally ready. But he also said, I'm not trying to give any bulletin board material. And I got to think, you know, you might want to put that on the bulletin board anyway.
I get what he's saying, and he's right. You know, it's not like us in Washington State banded together to stay here. We just got left behind. So I get what he was saying.
Still, though, you know, you could take that. They're not our friends. You could write that right up on the bulletin board. It doesn't hurt. Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna give you some constructive feedback, and I want you to maybe help me understand it. I was in Colorado Springs to see you guys, walking a lot of steps up and down to that press box like your coaches were, I think, before and after the game. But your team was quiet on the field before the game, and maybe I was there too early in the warmups, but I worried about it a little bit at the time because you guys were warming up and it was fine. It looked fine. But it was just quiet. Did you get that sense prior to Saturday's game, or it can too much be made of how boisterous a team is before kickoff?
I think a little. It can be made too much of. Now, it's looking at how we played, you could make something of it for sure, just because we played flat. So we definitely weren't on the right edge to play. There's no question.
That emotion part of it. How do you get these guys to kind of come together for these last two games and at least take that emotion part and the energy part and play with urgency and sort of funnel that into two football games? Because for me, and I'm going to gather for you, it's foreign because, you know, I always go, you know, I have so many of these days. I got to give this day my best. But kids sometimes don't think that way. How do you get your guys to show up that way?
I would say, starting with the way they've showed up all week and they have all season as far as the way they've worked, that hasn't been hard at all. They've been great to work with. I think there's motivation. One, you know, just talking Washington State, the opportunity to go out there and senior night and send these seniors who have done so much for this program and have been through so much to send them out on top, I think is a great motivator.
I was looking back at Jonathan Smith's first year and I'm trying to explain to some Oregon State fans who are frustrated. I go, look, Cal beat Oregon State, and you remember it, 49-7 that first year, Jonathan Smith, and Arizona State put 52 on Oregon State, and Washington State put 56 on Oregon State, and that was 2-10, and save for maybe that late season Colorado win, it was an uphill climb. You guys got out of the gates okay. It's been tough in the last few weeks, but, you know, is this a talent thing, or maybe, you know, I look at first-year coaches around the country, Jonathan Smith at Michigan State, Jed Fish at Washington, Brett Brennan at Arizona. It seems as though that first year is always going to be a little bit of a climb.
Yeah, I don't think it's a talent thing as much as it is a new thing. Right? Most of the guys playing for us are experiencing college football meaningful minutes for the first time this season. So I think what you saw early was talent and ability to move the ball and do things against the teams we did. And then as we lost guys and we had to play more inexperienced guys that have talent, and that's why I'm so still, you know, looking forward to what this team can be and become. But when you do that, you're just going to have ups and downs and learning curves and all those things that especially because we played a lot of veteran teams, you know, these last 4 or 5 weeks.
There's, you know, the reaction that you have to have after a 28-0 loss at Air Force where you go into the locker room and I'm sure you could yell and scream at the guys or you could just say, let's get dressed and get out of here. How do you handle that and how do you know what to do in that situation?
Yeah, I think at those moments, everyone's hurt. No one wants to win more than the players. And I've always been taught as a coach that, you know, their successes are theirs and their failures are mine. So I look at it from that scope of how do I fix it? You know, it's not the player's fault, it's mine, so I need to fix it. And just the message to them was, you know, stay together. We're going to get through this, and it'll flip as long as we continue to show up and put the work in.
We're talking to Trent Bray, Oregon State coach. I was watching your D coordinator, your offensive coordinator, some of the position coaches were in the booth as they were walking down from the press box, and the body language, I could tell that they feel maybe in some way that they're letting down their alma mater. And maybe you do too after a game like that. And so, but how do you motivate and manage your own staff? Because the messaging to the players has got to be one thing. Do you need to pull the staff together and go, look, there's going to be pains here too? Or what is that message? Or is it any different than what you're telling the players?
Not really. I mean, there's no magic pill you can take to get out of this. And then, so they're going to look to us for leadership. They're going to look to how we respond and how we come back and attack the work. And so we need to lead them in the way we want this thing to go. And we got to have faith in the process and believe in these kids that they're going to, and we're going to come out of this. And so that's the biggest message to them.
I'll tell you this. And, you know, I would tell you this if we were talking one-on-one. That first year with Jonathan, like you, he came on every week. And every week he talked about, we just want to be competitive. We just want to be competitive. Because it was, you know, 35-14 against Arizona and 52-24 against ASU. And I'm looking at the scores here, 49-7 against Cal. And he just kept talking about, we need to get competitive. He wasn't talking about winning. He was talking about just being in games at that point. Where are you at right now with this team coming off last week's loss and maybe the trend?
No, I'm still, we're here to win. And that's our goal this week and every week is to win. And that's what we prepare for. And our mindset is go out there and win.
You feel like you have a quarterback that you can win with?
I do. I do. And I think, you know, getting Ben back this week and, you know, like I said, the San Jose State game and the way he was able to move the ball up and down the field and manage that offense was what we needed. And, you know, we didn't get in their end zone when we needed to. And so that we got to take that next step and put the ball in the end zone when we get into the red zone this week against Wazoo. But I feel good about what Ben can do. And I know we can win with him because we have.
John Mateer, the Washington State quarterback, you know, he's 10 to you as you're watching film. What do you see him doing?
Mm-hmm. He's just, you know, he's kind of the complete quarterback. He's got a, you know, really good arm. He's accurate. He gets the ball where it's supposed to go. And then he's athletic and can kill you with his legs as well. So he's as good a quarterback as I've seen. And, yeah, just really talented player.
The Washington State, I think, is dealing with psychological issue itself. I mean, they're coming off of saying, hey, we can compete for a playoff spot. Suddenly they're not. So I think they're going to have to regroup a little bit. But Jake Dickert talked about going into Reser Stadium. He says, that it's hostile every time they go there. What are you expecting from the home fans and that stadium on Saturday?
Just that. I expect it to be what it always is, a very tough place for an opponent to play and an advantage for us, especially in situations where we got to get off the field and then those big-time situations, third down, when they're in the red zone and kind of being an energizer for our players.
I started the show today by talking a little bit about, you know, NVIDIA's founder, Jensen Huang, who is obviously a graduate of Oregon State, and his wife, Lori, both engineering department graduates, and you know, the investments they're making in the school. And, you know, your university president told me her goal is to try to get him to a football game. If you had a chance to talk to not just him, but Beaver fans in general who are maybe out there sitting there going, "What, you know, I feel a little helpless. What can I do?" And, you know, maybe their move is to reach out to the collective and make a donation. What would you say to the fan base in general? And if you got a billionaire donor who's out there waiting to be moved by something, what's the message from Trent Bray?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the landscape of college football right now. I mean, that's what it's about. And that's, you look at, you know, the team down the street and how they changed their trajectory. Was that? Was they had someone that fully supported them and funded them and have changed that whole program. And so that's just where we're at, and that's what it's going to take, you know, if you want to compete at the very highest level.
Do you know if she got him to a game? Because she said that was her goal this season. And I'm thinking, I don't know, was he there? Did he? You know, did you get a chance to meet him if he was there? When he was on campus, did they bring him over to the athletic department?
I have not gotten a chance to meet him, no.
That needs to happen. You know, yeah, university president needs to make that happen. We're talking to Trent Bray. All right, look, I know it's been tough. I think, you know, you guys out of the gates, 4-1 to start. I still think you probably are looking, you look back at the schedule and go, hey, there's a couple games in there you really feel like you could have got. But what do you want to get out of these last two games? Of course you want wins, but what else do you want to get out of these last 2 weeks of the season?
I want to see him get better, continue to get better, and continue to stay positive and fight. And that's the biggest things I'm looking for, because so many of these guys, you know, will be back and have many more years to play. To see that and to see that kind of resolve to not give up in, you know, in hard times and continue to go out there and improve and get better is really what I want to see.
Are you on social media? Because LeBron gave up all social media, and it sounds kind of appealing to me, although for my job I probably need it. How deep are you on social media?
I use it to communicate and track recruiting, and that's it.
You're not like hanging out, scrolling, getting your news there.
No.
What does that feel like to not be in it that way? Like, I don't know, because I kind of think, like, when I'm done with this whole media thing, I'm off social media. I'm not doing it.
I think it'd be healthy. You know, I think if I weren't for my job, I would definitely be off of it. When I was a younger coach, I kind of followed it. And I mean, it can ruin your day and ruin your total mood. Because yeah. You know, that there's 100 people that think you're great and 100 people that think you suck, and every one of them is going to tell you their opinion. So, you know, it's you just what you want to listen to, or, you know, you'll do. So
I'll just tell you, you're never as good or as bad as they say you are. I don't care what job you're in. They're tweeting the same stuff at me, you know, and I'm like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm never as great or never as bad as anybody says. Trent Bray with us. All right, good luck on Saturday. Go give him hell. Take the bulletin board. Put the Jake Dickert quote on the bulletin board. Do you actually have a bulletin board in there? Or how does that stuff get disseminated?
There actually
Let's just
is a
say,
bulletin board. We put
there
a lot
is
of
one.
Different stuff up there.
Uh-huh. All right. Like, you know, if you need me to put something on the bulletin board, I'll write it. You just tell me. Like, Sark used that once at Washington. I don't know if you remember this. This might have been in your playing era. Do you remember the game where Washington won at Washington? I don't know if you were there, but knocked out, I think it was Sammy Strotter or somebody got knocked out in the game, and it was a Mike Riley era team, and I had written the week before that Washington was the softest team in the conference. Sark put it on the bulletin board. Mike Riley called me after and said, it probably wasn't a good idea for you to write that. So you tell me.
I think it was Marcus Wheaton they knocked out.
That's right.
That was my first year back coaching in 12.
Yeah. And then Sark after the game was like, were we soft enough for you? I just think, you know, if you ever need me, I'm here for you. That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
There he goes, Trent Bray. He's actually got a bulletin board. And for people who didn't hear it, Jake Dickert's comment earlier this week, and I do think, like, to be fair to Dickert, and just to be totally honest, I think Dickert's got a problem because his team was focused on getting to the, you know, to the playoff, and then all of a sudden, you've got, you know, Jake Dickert and Washington State going, wait a minute now, we can't sell the playoff to these guys as motivation. We've got to sell something else to them. What can we sell? And I think if you are, you know, Dickert, this isn't a bad sales pitch.
I've never gotten into the, like, they're our buddy. Oregon State's not our buddy, right? You know what I mean? They would have left us as fast as we would have left them. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. It's our one of our biggest rivals now. That's the way I've looked at it. And that's not bulletin board material. I just hope they would say it the same way. Let's go compete. We've been waiting to compete with these guys, right? So they've dealt with a lot of adversity. We've dealt with a lot of adversity. I think it's going to be energized. It's going to be a great, you know, obviously their stadium's going to be packed. I think there's going to be a lot of Cougs there, you know. So, I mean, I think it's an energizing football game. Like, that's what I mean by that. And
I don't know. I think Trent Bray might just be putting that on the bulletin board.
You know, we had crowd noise. You know, we had the chainsaw rolling today a little bit. I was spraying the balls with water. Any elements that we get, it's just ready to compete, and I think that's what our guys are ready to do.
How about this one, Steven? I actually think if it's a monsoon on Saturday, if we get this weather that everybody is talking about us getting, that a little bit of advantage to Oregon State if it's muddy and ugly and, you know, like, couldn't you see it that way on Saturday?
I mean, if it is, that's what they need, because John Mateer is going to be running around in circles around that defense, which has been, you know, just so hurt and so banged up. But if it is, you know, muddy out there, yeah, it's going to slow down John Mateer, who's going to be the best player.
You know, on that field.
Yeah, wet, sorry.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking at the forecast right now. They're saying rainy and about 48 degrees at kickoff. So it looks like it's going to be some rain. I think what you need if you're Oregon State is you need high winds. Like, just anything that would hurt a passing game would benefit Oregon State. Because I got to be honest, I think Trent Bray is being nice when he says he has a quarterback that he can win with. I don't think Oregon State's got a quarterback it can win with. I think it has a really limited passing game. And apologies to Ben Gulbranson, who was a winner, okay? You look at his 7-1 record as a starter, you know, what was it, 2 seasons ago. He's a winner. But he was winning with running backs like Damian Martinez behind him and making some throws here and there. Now you've got this situation where you've got Javonte McCoy and Gulbranson hurt and in and out, and it's like, Oregon State's identity has been lost. They are not a let's run the football and tackle people team anymore. Their identity has been lost. Their quarterback play has been just erratic at best. And so, yeah, if, you know, I think more so than the rain is the chance for high winds. Now, I'm not seeing much in the way of wind on Saturday, and that could be a big problem, because if I am Oregon State, there, it looks like about a half an inch of rain there. And it's not going to be enough. It needs to be high winds and Mateer can't throw the football. That's a game you can play in right now if you're Oregon State. But I just want to see him. I want to see a little energy. I want to hear some noise. I want the sounds of the football game to sound normal. It was a library in Colorado Springs. In the pregame warm-up, I was on the field and it struck me. I was like, gosh, they're quiet. And I thought, well, maybe it's too early. Maybe I'm just down here too early. I waited. They were not talking. And then their pads did no talking at all after that. I want you to leave it here. You got the BFT.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.